On Monday, we read from your emails. Last week, we tried to answer the question, why do people sue? Edward Goodman, a trial lawyer, felt it necessary to battle the image of trial lawyers as villains. I've never seen a frivolous lawsuit, he wrote. My clients are injured by no fault of their own, and they have exhausted every means possible to try to get back to where they were before they were injured. What most people don't realize is the following. My clients have their credit destroyed, they lose their jobs, and then as a result their houses because of overwhelming medical bills stemming from an injury. During that same program, we spoke about the power of a doctor's apology to prevent a lawsuit. Tara Bullard wrote to say, an apology doesn't always work. It was the excessive apologizing that tipped us off when my grandmother died, she wrote. Her long-term doctor was so filled with remorse that my family pooled our stories together and realized neglect had happened. During our conversation with India's ambassador to the United States about his country's decision to decline international aid following the December 26 tsunami, Melissa in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, wrote to us wondering if the untouchable caste was receiving aid. We didn't have time to present that question to the ambassador during the program, but he's been kind enough to join us again. Ambassador Ronan Sen, welcome back to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. Pleasure to hear you, Need.
Melissa's question, are members of the untouchable caste being given aid?
Well, I had come across reports of some relief of supplies being denied on the basis of caste. And honestly, I tell you, I felt ashamed and outraged. But subsequently, I found that these allegations were vastly exaggerated. And on the contrary, that this tragedy, this terrible natural disaster, had, in fact, united people in their shared grief. And in that area, Neil, the worst affected area, there's a very large and ancient Hindu temple, and people from all castes and creeds found refuge there. Similarly, in the mosque, a big mosque in this area, Hindus were sheltered along with Muslims. And in a church, you had Muslims, Hindus, all communities. They were looked after in a church. So even in this despair, this tragedy, I think the human spirit asserted itself, and that is what gives us hope.
Nevertheless, in a country which has made remarkable progress, and we spoke about some of that when you were on the program, caste remains a very difficult issue.
It remains, but it's going because there is a process of both emancipation and empowerment. And that is sometimes it erupts into conflict, but it only shows that the entrenched interests, if you may, are, sort of fighting with the backs of the wall. And it's bound to... This is an irreversible trend, and it's bound to, this is something which can't be sustained in modern India. Impossible.
Ambassador, again, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Ambassador Ronan Sen is India's ambassador to the United States. We spoke with him by phone from his residence here in Washington, D.C. On our program about the horrible weather that hit California last week, we spoke with a chain monkey, a licensed person who, for a fee, will put chains on your tires to help you maneuver across a snowy road. During that conversation, we suggested that all chain monkeys are men. That resulted in an email from Donna Bergner of Cedar Ridge, California. I experienced a bit of a feminist jolt, she wrote. There may not be any women working up there now, but for about 4 years in the early 1980s, I worked as a chain monkey on Interstate 80 over the Donner Pass. Every time a snowstorm came in, I'd throw my rain gear, gas lantern, signboard, and chaining tools into my pickup truck, switch on the scanner and CB radio, and head up the hill to find where they had the chain control set up. It was an amazing job, great fun, occasionally good money, and incredible scenery. After 4 seasons of lying under cars that were dropping snow, ice chunks, and salty grit in my face while 18-wheelers slid by only a few feet from my legs, I started having trouble ignoring my small voice asking, "Why are we here?" By then, I'd learned to drive pretty well in snow, could light my Coleman lantern without flare-ups, and was good at installing chains. Now when it storms, I throw another log on the fire, tune in NPR, and sometimes step outside where I can just barely hear the sound of traffic on Highway 80. Sometimes there is no sound. I know then that the mountain has won this round. It has halted human traffic again. I love the fact that I can still do that, and I love the fact that my chain ape days are over. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, please send them to totn@npr.org. Please tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Kara Arsenault, Becky Vlamis, Megan Moline, Susan Lund, and Megan Williams. Today's program was edited by Flo Purnell. The executive producer of Talk of the Nation is Sue Goodwin. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.